Dara Kerr, welcome to The Full Story.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
You've been covering the two trials against big tech companies in the US. Before we get into the specifics of what happened in each of those cases, just how significant is it that Meta and Google lost?
It's almost too big an outcome to put into words. This is a huge, huge deal. It is the very first time in the United States that social media companies are being held to account for their practices. And we've seen complaints, we've seen congressional hearings, we've seen protests and all sorts of things against these companies for years. And this is the very first time we're seeing any action being taken against the companies for allegations of harming young people.
With all that's been happening in the world, coverage of these cases in Australia has been fairly minimal. In fact, many may have even missed that these cases went to trial or that there's been an outcome. So I was hoping you could explain the crux of the California case for us. Tell me about the woman at the center of that case and what she alleged.
So just to back up a little bit before we get into the specifics of this one case, this case is one of thousands of cases that have been brought against the tech companies, and it's the very first one to go to trial. So it's a group of this cohort of cases that have been coordinated together. And under this cohort, I think there's a little bit more than 1,600 plaintiffs. So it's just huge. And so this is the very first time we're seeing a trial, a jury trial. This is the very first time we're seeing a witness. This is the very first time we're seeing documents that have been sealed for years come to light. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of coverage in the United States either before the trials began. And then when this one began, everyone started to realize what a big deal it was and how it's like at the very base of this huge wave of cases that are coming. So in this case, it was one single plaintiff, a young woman who's now 20 years old, who goes by the name Kaylee. Her last name is Protected, or the initials KGM. And she testified during the trial that she got addicted to YouTube at the age of 6 and Instagram at the age of 9, and had been using both apps really compulsively. And by the age of 10, she was suffering from all sorts of problems, depression, issues at school. By the time she was 13, she had a psychologist who ended up diagnosing her with body dysmorphia and social phobia. So we heard a lot about how this woman felt that social media played a role in those mental health issues that she happened to have.
So what kind of evidence did her lawyers present to the jury? You mentioned that it's the first time some of these documents were made public. Can you talk to us about that evidence that was shown to the jury that ultimately got them to find in her favor?
Right. So we heard from her. We heard from her therapist. We heard from other child psychologists. And then a lot of the most damning evidence really was documents that were unsealed from the company themselves. And so we had employees talking to each other, referring to Instagram as a drug and saying, you know, we're basically pushers. We had a document from inside YouTube that asked itself, you know, how are we measuring people's well-being? And the answer was, we're not. So, you know, there was references in the Instagram documents of employees saying this reminded them of the big tobacco pushers in the 1990s and how social media correlated. So that was really interesting because some of this information has come out with whistleblowers over the past couple of years, but to see it all kind of gathered together in one place and to show how it was used in this case of this one young woman was really interesting.
How did Instagram's owner Meta and YouTube's parent company Google respond to this case?
Their tactic was really trying to take attention away from their own apps and their products and really focus on this young woman. And so they drilled into her home life, her mother, her sister. They brought out documents of notes from her therapist, text messages from when she was 13 years old, And she admittedly had a hard relationship with her mother, especially when she was a young teenager. But Mehta's lawyers framed it as a story that she was abused and hit by her mother, and that her depression and the mental health issues that she was having had nothing to do with social media. It stemmed from her home life. So it was really a focus on, activists would say, like a victim blaming, victim shaming tactic. But she testified after all of this, she testified that she wasn't abused. She did have a hard home life. She lives with her mother to this day. Her mother was there for the whole trial in court with her. So I think that tactic did not really run really well with the jury, because there's an element of cruelty to it.
Mm. Meta's CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, and Instagram's Adam Mosseri had to front court. They testified in this case. Mm-hmm. How did that play out?
Well, so I wasn't in the courtroom for either of those. But from what you heard from the jurors once the trial wrapped up was that it wasn't convincing. And some of the jurors said that Mark Zuckerberg's testimony didn't sit right with them. We've seen him testify before Congress in the U.S., and he tends to speak in curt answers that aren't necessarily feel like he's understanding the harm that the company is causing. He did say in testimony in the trial of Kaylee that they could have done better in their work to like keep bad stuff away from kids, but that's about as far as it went. And then Adam Mosseri, when he testified, he really took issue with the word addiction, which, you know, saying that there's no clinical definition for social media addiction, which there isn't. But I think what the jurors found was it doesn't matter like how it's defined. It's clear that this young woman was harmed by social media.
Mm. So can I ask you just about that? After 9 days of deliberation, the jury came to its decision. What did it actually find these companies liable for?
So the jury was asked a set of questions. And what the jury had to prove first was negligence. And then if it proved that there's negligence on behalf of the companies, it had to prove causation. So if the companies intended this, and then it could go to damages. So the jury went through all three of those. And it was first asked a set of questions on each company, the same questions. And the first questions were about negligence. So very simple, like, was Meta negligent? And then whether Meta's negligence was a factor in causing harm to this young woman. And then it went on to failures to warn. So whether Meta was able to warn users that its products could be dangerous, whether it knew the design was dangerous, and whether its failure to warn led to harm of this young woman. And the jury on these sets of questions, it was a 12-panel jury, 10-2 across the board voted yes, which is pretty resounding loss for the social media companies. Often you'll see juries, hung juries, you'll see them answer yes to some questions, no to others. So the fact that just down the list, it was 10-2, there was negligence, there was harm, was really interesting. And that was for the first set of damages. And then there was another set of damages where they had to prove that there was malice and fraud, which the jury did say there was, which is a really big deal also. And so that's how they came with the final damages award of $6 million. And to say on top of that, $6 million is literally a penny to these trillion-dollar companies. 70% of that $6 million that Meta had to pay, 30% YouTube. But it's not really the amount of money. It's that this jury and this decision set real precedent and what's going to happen in these thousands of other cases to come.
You've been following the case closely. What was your reaction when the verdict did come down?
I was really shocked. I'd been hearing from both sides. I've been hearing from lawyers on both sides of the trial, and everyone was quite confident. So it was, I really had no idea how it was going to go. When they did the closing arguments and jury deliberations began, the plaintiff's lawyers had said, if the jury comes back with a really quick decision, that's usually bad news for the plaintiffs. So the fact that the jury took nearly 9 full days to deliberate had me start thinking that maybe at least one of the companies was going to lose. But I was actually quite shocked that they both resoundingly lost this way.
Dara, in the same week, Meta had lost another case in the state of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. There were different issues at play in that case, but safety and harm were still at the center. Could you tell me a bit about that case and the outcome there?
Yeah, so this case is not part of this coordinated cohort of cases. It's a single case that was brought by the Attorney General of New Mexico. And it's really interesting as actually part of it was spurred from an investigation by The Guardian, looking into child exploitation, specifically on Instagram and actually other platforms too. So that case was just against Meta over child exploitation. And what this Attorney General had done over the last few years is set up these sting operations with special investigators in the state who posed as children on the apps. It's like truly a wild case to read. It's like very Black Mirror. So they posed as children and kind of lured in these predators and were able to show the complete lack of safety guardrails that Instagram and Facebook have on its apps. And that led to children being exploited and harmed, sex trafficking. It's a really awful case, but very eye-opening. So in that case, the trial started just after the trial of the Los Angeles KGM trial, and it wrapped pretty quickly. The jury only deliberated for half a day and delivered a huge damages award to the state of New Mexico of $375 million. So much bigger than the LA case. And in that trial, the attorney general is able to try and bring further claims to try and get the social media platform to change the design of its products. That's not the case in the cohort of trial. They can't get those social media companies to change their products. So the idea is to have as many lawsuits as possible. It's just going to be a pain to keep arguing this. So they'll change their products.
Tell me a bit about that, because many see what has happened in these two cases as the beginning of a reckoning for big tech. In Australia, there are some law firms here that are already investigating possible domestic cases. And you mentioned earlier that there are many lawyers in the US readying for further cases there. Just how many could we see come up in the next few months? What happens next?
Oh, we have trials stacked up for the next at least 2 years. I mean, they're already scheduled to go to trial, these cases. So the ball is rolling, definitely. The next trial begins in June, and that is actually a whole separate cohort of cases, thousands of plaintiffs, that includes attorneys generals from more than half of the United States and school districts. And so that's going to be really interesting. That case is being brought by the Attorney General of Kentucky. And I should say that in all of these the coordinated grouped cases, those are against four social media companies. It's Meta, YouTube, Snap, and TikTok. And Snap and TikTok settled with KGM like hours before the trial began. But we should expect, unless they keep settling, we should expect to also see those companies be put on the witness stand.
We'll be right back.